The reading for this evening is taken from Ephesians 2, verses 19 to 22. If you're reading from the Bible, it's page 1174. If you're not reading from the Bible, then you can read off the screen there. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Good evening, everybody. As I was attempting to prepare for this sermon, it was very difficult. It might be the hardest sermon to prepare for, and mostly because I kept getting interrupted and distracted. The holidays, we were traveling home for the holidays, so there were flights, there was packing to do, there were airports to wander through, there was jet lag to battle with a toddler, there were gifts to buy, there was meals to eat, there were all these people to put up with. And then getting home, you have to unpack, get them off to school again, and now the toddler is sick. Family is such a burden. And it took me until yesterday, when I finally was doing on the home stretch preparing this, that I sat and looked at that word for about 5 minutes. And it struck me, the irony of what I'm saying. Tonight is about family, and yet so often, family is the interruption, the thing that takes up our time, the thing that distracts us and creates burdens on us. I wanted to get to the real work of studying the theology of Ephesians 2, reflecting on what does God want to teach us from this passage. And I was distracted by the stuff of life and the people of life. I was distracted by family. So as we as a church try to think about family, I want to pray what I prayed yesterday for myself from Ephesians 1:17. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. Lord, we pray that your spirit of wisdom and revelation would let us know you better. So family, we have these church values. We're launching this new dimension of our church vision. And as we reflect on family, I think the next slide, there's a few kind of tag words we're associating with this that we'll be using to guide us tonight. Family being friendship, caring, and belonging. Why family? And why now? This value is urgently important, actually, in our moment in history. So beyond St. John's, beyond our vision, I think there's something bigger going on. In our country, in our world, there are many moments of crisis. And in a lot of those moments of crisis, God's Spirit guides his people to focus on particular dimensions of his plan. And I really do believe that today, we need to be clear-eyed about the family God calls us to be in Ephesians 2. And there's good precedent for why I think this. I think one of the major points is that when God repeats something, it's often an easy way to tell if he thinks it's important. And this is actually the fourth sermon on the second half of Ephesians 2 in the last 4 years at this church. So if we go to the next slide, I think it is. Yeah, so we've had four sermons on this, my humble offering adding to that list. We had, in 2021, Bishop Carraway came and spoke to us on what this passage says about racism. In 2023, Eddie preached on belonging through the lens of Ephesians 2. And then we had Ben Baker speak on being one in Christ. And tonight, we're thinking about it to teach us how to be a family together. I highly recommend scanning these codes. I can share these with you as well later, but these are the links to the particular talks on the church website. I haven't listened through all of them again, but I'm looking forward to doing that next week, and I would encourage you to join me as we re-listen to the words God has spoken to us in the last 4 years about this passage and about family. But here's my take on why this matters now. As our society and our politics become more divided and more uncompromising, and also politics becomes more important to our identity as people, right? You're right or you're left, you're conservative or you're liberal, or you're far right or you're far left. And there's an increasing uncompromisingness, the way that our news media is divided, the way that our social circles are divided. And within that, I think that there's a particular temptation as Christians to align ourselves along those lines. And specifically for those who claim and call back to our roots as a Christian nation, where they call for Christian family heritage to be defended. Now, while I believe deeply that Christ Church has a profound effect on the way our culture has evolved, some of those values are very much worth celebrating, I do sense a danger in leaning too hard into this need to preserve a nation mindset. And in mulling this, I've been reading this book by Miroslav Volf, if we could have the next slide, called Exclusion and Embrace. Now, who is Miroslav Volf? Well, he's a Croatian Baptist theologian who was struggling with the ethnic violence of his home country, Croatia, as Yugoslavia fell apart amidst a tremendous amount of ethnic violence in the early 1990s. And this was deeply troubling to him was not just the ethnic cleansing and the killings and the violence, but it was that his fellow Christian Croatians and the Serbian Christian counterparts were both justifying their national violence because God had a special plan for their nation. And is this God's plan that Paul writes about in Ephesians 2? That neighbor shall kill neighbor in the name of the crucified Christ. Well, what was the cross about? Our passage starts with the word consequently in verse 19, consequently. And so let's have a brief detour from the meat of our passage to look at those preceding verses, 11 through 18, and what they tell us about what Jesus did on the cross. Remember that you were formerly Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from the citizenship in Israel, foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. He himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace in one body to reconcile both to God through the cross, and by which he put to death their hostility. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers. Here we find that God intentionally is building a multicultural church from every nation. And the details of this are really important to understand for the rest of our talk and as we think about family, right? Christ does not obliterate our different identities when we come to Christ. The Greeks were not becoming Jews. Rather, through his blood and forgiveness, we are transformed into images of Christ still within our own cultures, but also brought together with other cultures. We enter into communion and membership with others from other cultures who are being similarly transformed. This value of family is so important because it builds into our shared life the practices and instincts that help us resist sliding into mistaking our culture for Jesus. As Mr. Wolf writes, the images of communal survival and flourishing that our culture feed us all too easily blur our vision of God's new creation. The United Kingdom is a Christian nation, we then think, and the democracy is the only truly Christian political arrangement, unaware that our culture has subverted our faith. We lose a place from which to judge our own culture. In order to keep our allegiance to Jesus Christ pure, we need to nurture our commitment to the multicultural community of Christian churches. We need to see ourselves and our understanding of God's future with the eyes of other Christians from other cultures. Listen to the voices of other Christians to ensure that our own voice hasn't drowned out the voice of Jesus Christ, the one word of God. All of that as a way to intro. Let's see how living as family, why is the value of family, how does that work itself out, and how it helps us inoculate us against this slide. So first, friendship. Friendship, caring, and belonging. We have the next slide then. There we go, friendship. Friendship that is more than Sunday deep, caring that is self-sacrificial, belonging that changes us. So friendship. We are no longer foreigners and strangers. The bringing together work in Jesus on the cross is not only a spiritual reality. It's not some kind of thing we think about or read about, but it's a living and breathing experience every day. How do we get over being strangers? It's not by reading a book. Sometimes that helps, but it's by investing wisely into the people around you. And the call here is to go beyond the welcome desk. Our welcome needs to be far-reaching. We've invested a lot as our church to make our welcome experience. We have a great team who's about making our church a welcoming experience. But we would be wrong to think that having good people and welcoming people like Tim on the door, making sure that people are connected and given coffee, is enough to stop us from being foreigners and strangers. When someone enters our local expression of God's global church, whether they're new to church or they're new to our country or both, the Spirit wants us to be embedding them deeply into the life of our family. We should be eating together, opening our homes, and reorganizing ourselves to make space for them. A coffee chat is great, but a meal is better. Who's coming to dinner at your house in the next few weeks? Are we building those relationships that go far beyond a Sunday? Do you see your brothers and sisters 4, 5, 6, 7 times a week? This is so important for building those relationships. Time is where it happens. Second, as we build our friendships, caring that is self-sacrificial. We go back to Jesus on the cross, the ultimate example, as we sang earlier, of self-sacrifice. And practically, we can look in our passage, we are fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. Families take care of each other by showing up, even when it's hard, inconvenient, and costly. And if you want a practical manual on this, I would recommend the book of Ephesians, particularly chapter 4, where Paul calls out that we should be patient, bearing with one another in love. Investing in our skills so that we have something to share with those in need. Giving up the hardness of heart so that we're ready to take care of people. This is about acting out in daily life the death of Jesus on the cross. And being a part of a household, when people are in your house, it's very easy to figure out what their needs are. For me, this has been apparent through the two small groups I've been a part of at St. John's. The number of times that God has come to my family's aid or used us to the aid of others amazes me every time. All those little things that help you get through the week. The people who watch my kids so I could go to a job interview. The meals that we've had together. This looks like when you invite somebody to dinner, you go out of your way not just to make sure the meal is ready, but you make sure that their dietary needs are met and that they can fully partake of them in the meal. This means being forgiving when somebody has gone to an effort but got it terribly wrong in their effort to take care of you. It's the back and forth of real relationship in the light of Jesus' work. These mundane tasks become not just an opportunity to be a good person. That's what we have to be aware of here. But these actually become sacred opportunities to welcome God into our midst. They're a way to perform the example of Jesus. It can seem like a waste of time, back to my intro, a burden or a distraction from the real things of life. But God puts that reality of people living and building together at the core of his vision for his church. In chapter 3, right after this, Paul launches into this magnificent vision of God's church putting the rulers of the world to shame. And he ends with, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And for Paul, that's not different than showing up for people throughout the week, being patient, bearing with one another in love, being members of a household together. Lastly, belonging that changes us. It's great to welcome people and build friendships. It's great to serve each other and go out of your way. But what does that physically look like? Imagine this, when somebody comes to your door, how do you respond? Do you stand at the door and chat if they're looking for donations or it's a delivery before quickly closing up the door again so you don't let the heat out? Well, if it's somebody in your family, you usually will throw it open wide, shift the things around, move the buggy out of the way to make space for their coats and shoes, give them a hug, and then bring them straight into the heart of your home. And does this mean that maybe next time we need to change or reorganize our homes and our internal lives so that we can give them an even better welcome the next time? The embrace is key to this. As the communion liturgy says, he opened his arms of love upon the cross. When you open the door to your family, for many, that is an embrace. Maybe a handshake, a kiss, or a big hug. When we reflect on being embraced as members of a household, we should recognize how this changes us. We have to make room within our arms for somebody else. We must recognize, as Wolf puts it in Exclusion and Embrace, that this requires the work, the mutual work, of making room for the other inside of ourselves, of rearranging ourselves in light of the other's presence. Because you're part of my family, I might need to do things differently. And I might need to ask you to do things differently. I may have special needs, or I may come from a different background and I just want to sing the songs I grew up with. In order to embrace, we have to open ourselves up. We have to challenge ourselves to alter our identities to recognize my shared identity in Christ with you. We have to interrupt our selfishness. And it's also mutual. We have to ask of the same of others. And as we see, this changes us as we move to verses 20 through 22. Built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building, that's us, is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. We're not just a household anymore. We've actually become the building, and that building isn't just a house, it's a temple of the Lord. In him, you are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. And this openness and embrace of the other helps us recognize when we are mistaking our values for God's values. If we're investing in embracing the differences that God has put in our midst, we'll be face to face with the ways that both ourselves and others are twisting the one word of God to serve our own ideology or national strategy. And God wants more from us than that. He wants us to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. That we would be, next slide, a Spirit-flooded family. Paul makes this startling claim at the end of this passage, something far beyond just being a multicultural community that doesn't kill each other or is just kind of nice. Paul sees at the heart of this project God has started on the cross the making of a family that unlocks the power of the Holy Spirit in our midst. Those distractions, those accommodations are an opportunity for you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. And this connection goes even deeper. As we reflect here on this passage, we see that it's not just Jesus and it's not just the Holy Spirit, but the Lord, the Father, are all present here working together. As Jesus says in John 15, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. The Spirit comes out of us. That God himself models this in the triune God. God in three persons, but open to each other, supporting each other, building each other up. And here Paul sees that same divine power flowing into us being a family together. If we'd have the last slide here. So we come to what's next? How do we take this forward? How do we take this value forward? Well, friendship. Who is coming to dinner? Maybe that's not something you can arrange for this week. Maybe your life is too busy, but maybe 2 weeks' time. You invite somebody that you've never invited over before. Caring, who has needs to be met? And maybe it's you. Maybe there's people that you need help from. Belonging, who is challenging you in your church? And how can you work through that challenge with them? How can you build each other into the dwelling place of God's Holy Spirit? And last, join a small group. It's the easiest way to do this. You show up once a week. 10 years later, you're still meeting up with them and traveling across the country to reconnect with them and building those roots deeper and deeper. I want to close with a benediction from Ephesians chapter 3. Verses 14 through 21. For this reason, Paul writes, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all of the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and how long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen.